Blog Talk Radio.
Up in life, he just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat of the mic, he feels so unlike everybody else alone.
What's up, everybody? Happy hump day. How you doing? It's your boy B-Train, and I got a show for you today, because most of it, you're unbelievable, is the reasoning for the headline, because you see, last night on SmackDown Live, there was a lot going on. And by a lot going on, I mean there's trouble for Naomi because Natty looks really, really good. Does that scare Naomi? No. But I'm not here to talk about the women's division just yet, because majority of this discussion, and I'm pretty sure other podcasts have covered this mess, I'm going to build myself up to that. So you thought I was going to dive right into it. You see, the headline for SmackDown Live circumvented around Jinder Mahal and John Cena. John Cena and Jinder Mahal for the first time ever on SmackDown Live. So, okay. So Jinder Mahal was going to celebrate his country's Independence Day. Kicked off, you know, with Jinder in the ring with the Singh brothers, and he had a traditional stereotypical Indian celebration, right? Stereotypical meaning what WWE has written for his character to celebrate. Now, here's the fun part, guys. The celebration was interrupted by Shinsuke Nakamura. That man needs no introduction. Because why? It's Shinsuke Nakamura. So, let's see here. That segment I really didn't pay attention to, but next up in the very first leg, you have Natalya facing off with Becky Lynch. It was a pretty, pretty stacked match. The Irish Last Kicker tried her damnedest, but it just wasn't good enough. So Natalya wins with a sharpshooter. It was okay. It wasn't all that bad. I mean, okay. So anyways. Okay, so I'm a little bit lost here. Rusev versus Chad Gable. The match really didn't – I mean, it went all over the place. Rusev and Gable ended up getting double count out, although I really thought that Rusev got disqualified. So, which then proceeded to have an RKO out of nowhere. You know, I'm doing my Michael Cole imitation there. So, that, you know, that sets up the build for Orton and Rusev at Barclays. Who will emerge victorious, as they once said, you know, when they're hyping up a match? All right, so then you have later on. Oh, wait, I forgot my tradition. Before I review anything SmackDown, my gosh, I get way ahead of myself. Hang on, folks. Hang on one second. It's not cool unless I do this. Red alert, John, shine a light down. On the front lines of my mind now. Fighting my time on the high ground. Blinded, but I'm still alive, shout out. Think that we're lucky to have got this far. Come on and fight! from the long music intro, let's review quickly, shall we? So far we've learned, aside from my psycho babble, that Jinder Mahal kicked off SmackDown. Well, the lovely rendition of the Indian Independence Day, his country India gets interrupted by a Shinsuke segment, really, yeah, blah. Natalya beats the Irish last kicker, Becky. And Naomi was out there for commentary, no biggie. Okay, so then Rusev versus Chad Gable. Okay, well, not a big fan, but Orton did cap off what appeared to be an RKO out of nowhere. See? Deja vu. Now, moving forward, I got into, okay, right back where I was at. And that is, Shane McMahon wanted to confront AJ Styles. Shane was explaining the rules to AJ. Then I believe that Kevin Owens came out, basically tried to escalate the situation. So I thought it was pretty funny. And here's something memorable that was said from this all. If you put your hands on me again, I'll put mine all over you, McMahon said to Styles. Owens tried to get into the mix, and then provided that, you know, here's the funny part about this all. When trying to defuse the situation, Kevin Owens ended up super kicking AJ right in the, you know, right in the kisser. I'm hoping that, it, you know, all in all, that match that features Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, I'm hoping that it ends up being a decent match. And we all know some people like to set predictions and write their charts out for what's going to happen. I don't really give a flying fuck what you do. I just want to see the match. So, The New Day versus the Usos. Okay, is this a precursor to, you know, the Usos winning the tag team championships? I don't know, guys. I'm only just a quick observer. So what I am going to tell you is that the Usos won by pinfall. It was by a double super kick. You know, normally people kick out of that. Young Bucks, anyone? I mean, they give plenty of super kick parties. But that has nothing to do with the SmackDown review. So, anyhow, it was an okay match. You know what I really enjoy, guys, about SmackDown Live is the simple fact that they have little segments that are kind of take away from the wrestling just a little bit, not too much. It was a comical segment. It was with Tyler Breeze and Fandango, and I loved every single minute of it, even though it was really short and really funny. Said Breezango will be back in 25 years. Kind of an ode to Fashion Peaks or whatever, I guess. And, or Twin Peaks, a little series that was on TV a long time ago. I think those two did a nice, fantastic job. So, I mean, as I'm reading your messages, folks, I will get to them as soon as I possibly can. Okay, so as a long pause comes through, folks, I apologize. I'm just reading through the questions. Now we move forward to the main event, which is going to be the bulk of my discussion, and I'm going to carry an off-the-rails, uncensored theme into this discussion because this match on SmackDown Live didn't seem really promising. It just seemed like another John Cena victory. And here's why I say this. But it did not end that way. This match between John Cena and Jinder Mahal was very much back and forth. I thought it was enjoyable. I didn't really care. I mean, not enjoyable, but it was tolerable. What made it interesting was the simple fact that you see Baron Corbin come down at the end or middle of the match. See what I did there? I'm trying to delay these because I know I'm going to get a lot of responses on Wrestle Radio's little Instagram thing. This is great. What I saw, guys, was pretty funny. And I say this because he's the third man, the only third man in history, in wrestling history, to not successfully cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase. And the reason why I say I'm going to cover this briefly is because I only set this show up for an hour because I'll be at National Wrestling's Training Performance Center here in a bit. But what I'm going to tell you is that I don't know if I'm going to laugh and then not laugh later, because here's the setup people are thinking in their heads. We all thought that Baron Corbin was going to cash in his briefcase at SummerSlam or, you know, the Monday Night Raw after. Boy, did creative throw us for a loop. But, you know, here's my thing. When Baron Corbin interfered in that match, most people thought, oh, you know, he's just going to walk away like he normally does and give us a hat trick and just show up in Barclays and cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase when Shinsuke wins the championship. I don't think so. But I am happy on one aspect of this, and that is maybe they threw us for a loop for a reason, because predictability in WWE over the years has been rampant from a creative perspective. From a fan's perspective, I think a lot of us were expecting him to cash it in on Shinsuke or Jinder or anyone that's, you know, incapacitated. That would be the perfect thing for him to do, right? I don't know. But I find it funny, because how can you not, when you have the opportunity given to you, not be able to cash in sometime soon in your career in WWE, when you win that briefcase, the Money in the Bank briefcase? Not a lot of people are high on Baron Corbin as far as the former go, because he's your cookie cutter heel. His music was handed to him, this, that, the other. I don't care about music. All I care about, can you entertain? And by far, Baron Corbin's whole outlook as a professional wrestler, when he couldn't cash in that Money in the Bank, don't be fooled, guys. Do not be fooled, because they've done this before, remember? They gave pretty much the WCW performance, WWE just did, what they did right now. Having all their good shows pop, you know, have their matches, great pops and everything before SummerSlam. Is that Boston's fault? No. Is it how WWE books things because they ran out of material? I don't know. Like I said, I'm only the fan that watches these things live on, you know, cable TV, or just happened to catch recaps online because people posted all over my fucking Facebook newsfeed. So here it is. Whenever you see a performance like Baron Corbin just gave the fans, do not be fooled. Because it is a fair warning to all of us that sit in Barclays and will watch the spectacle that is SummerSlam. Do we want to be fair warned and be nervous the whole time? Like, oh my gosh, is he going to ruin the match between Nakamura and Mahal? Ooh, couldn't see that coming a mile away. It's a cynical attitude. It's annoyingly negative. But can you blame all of us who have been through SummerSlams and WrestleManias that have really bit the dust booking-wise? No. So what does this have anything to do with Baron Corbin and all the subjects listed on the freaking podcast that I listed out for you guys? I'll tell you. Watch it as a fan, enjoy it, and you'll have nothing to worry about. You boo, you cry, you cheer, you get your child a shirt, and you have fun. You watch Baron Corbin lose his opportunity to cash in successfully. Sorry, that's kind of a laughable moment. And, you know, it bears repeating, because I'm going to play something for y'all that might help alleviate this whole ordeal seeing as how I've just reviewed SmackDown Live, I'm going to tell you briefly and take a break, a breather, if you will, through the advertisements. If you would like to become a professional wrestler and you are located in the East Coast area, there are plenty of schools you can look online through Google. But the most notable one, the number one wrestling school of all time, world famous Monster Factory. You can check it out at monsterfactory.org. Be sure to send Danny Cage a text message. His phone number is on the card. It is on the website. It is on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can check it out on monsterfactory.org. So please, by means, do not hesitate to sign up for Danny's school. It is $2,000 for, you know, inexperienced workers, $500 down payment, $1,000 for, you know, for an experienced worker who has worked 1 or 2+ years. By all means, contact Danny Cage. If you have any information, please, please visit the website. Also, if you live in the Midwest where the host with the most does, you can go to fightkc.com. That is where you can find information about NWL's Training Performance Center Live. Now that I hang on, folks. Whenever Baron Corbin lost his Money in the Bank briefcase, you know what came to mind? A lot of things came to mind. And hang on. Well, I pull out that sentiment. No. Let me just take a break. Quick station identification, folks. Again, I was checking with Larry's studio, and this is what I thought of. When Baron Corbin failed miserably. I think you've heard this before. It was well worth it because you know why. Here's my reasoning why. It has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, he held on to it first, you know, for brief times and his opportunities. But I gotta get my laps in before SummerSlam because I know what's coming, because I know that some gut feeling of mine says that WWE is so insistent upon Baron Corbin, much like they're insistent upon, yeah, you know, they're insistent upon certain people like Roman Reigns and different people, and that's up to them. I don't dabble into that bullshit anymore because here's the thing. If I'm upset about someone, I'm just going to say I really, you know, the difference of opinion, I think that this worker is much better than the other one. Or I think this guy is much better. Just, you know, listen to the fans. You know, back when Daniel Bryan was around WWE, for some unbeknownst reason to me, until the fans actually forced the company itself to look inside itself and be like, hey, this guy is a top performer. This guy is better. He is getting all the fan reactions. The reason why I'm not so apt to Baron Corbin as a WWE champion, I mean, Intercontinental would be fine. United States champion, also fine. Just like, you know, the same thing with Big Cass. Was it a smart move of him to join up with Bullet Club? And again, we're getting off trail here, off topic. But I'm just saying, certain attributes of Baron Corbin are so bad. Mic skills, let's just be honest, need work. Overall, you know, his moveset in the ring, it doesn't really scream, you know, WWE champion to me. It screams generic cookie cutter, and generic cookie cutter was fine in, you know, 94 to 96 when you had Diesel and, you know, guys like Razor Ramon, and even they weren't cookie cutter. They pushed the envelope when you least expected it. Now, what does this have to do with him cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase? So I guarantee you, if anybody else was to cash in that Money in the Bank briefcase, probably would have been better suited for a Monday Night Raw or SummerSlam. Then again, predictability is what we all were bitching about. So him, Baron Corbin, showing that he wanted to take the initiative to cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase, I don't admonish that behavior. I more or less say it's kind of funny because there's plenty of people that could have cashed in that Money in the Bank briefcase, and that could have been anyone from Nakamura to AJ Styles to, hell, even Kevin Owens. But no, let's insist upon a guy that is mediocre at best, can barely fuck work a match, and you're telling me that he is deserved of the Money in the Bank, but was deserving of the Money in the Bank briefcase. It's whatever, man. You're saying that you wish he would have cashed in his opportunity. Well, okay. You would, you know, you wish he would have been successful is what you're telling me. Things happen, dude. You know, not everybody gets their wish. Everyone has to go through their trials and tribulations, unfortunately. I don't know, and I don't what they're rumored to do at SummerSlam. It's not like you can read a dirt sheet anymore and be like, hey, this is what's going to happen, you know, spoil it for everyone else, or pretend like you're the all-knowing predictive person or psychic, you mean. So all I got to tell you is, what happened last night was kind of a sigh of relief, briefly. A sigh of relief as in, okay, so what are they going to do from a, you know, moving forward? Again, I'm going to take over and I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to SummerSlam for a third straight year in a row. I'm going to have me a fucking blast, ladies and gentlemen. And I can tell you, I wish that the host of the most and my friend Kurt Gannon could accompany me to this year's SummerSlam. But, and I say this cordially, whenever you have a homecoming in your home, you know, your back, your own backyard, and you see the lights, you see the beauty that is SummerSlam, you see the beauty that is WWE. Well, I'm going to go into that in about 20 seconds, ladies and gents, if I time this correctly. See, I'm doing this by timing. Got a lot of shit done today. I'm happy with myself. So, two, one.
The cost of personality. I know your anger. I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of personality. Like most.
So, NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn, the main focus is on a lot of things. Tag team championships, Authors of Pain versus Sanity. I have grown to love Sanity because, number one, their music is kick-ass. That shouldn't be the only main reason. But two, they are different. They are unique. They are a brand of tag team that I've been dying to see. They're big. They're bad. They are not your stereotypical big guy tag team that basically just romps through everybody. They're different. They have the music, they have the idealism behind what they're, you know, wrestling for. Okay, and moving forward, because I got, you know, 30 minutes before I got to head out, guys, to the TPC at National Wrestling. By the way, training sessions are $20. For more information, contact Derek Stone directly over Facebook or contact the moderator on the NWO site, fightkansascity.com. So here's what I have to say to you all. The card on TakeOver versus the card at SummerSlam. Most everyone is looking forward to the card at TakeOver in Barclays, or at Barclays, because guess who? Adam Cole is now officially signed with World Wrestling Entertainment. Now, you know, you got big names like Leo Rush, Adam Cole circulating around. How does this impact TakeOver 3? Well, I can tell you guys, his signing with WWE is big because I don't know if you all know, but the club is a major integral part of the wrestling world, of the wrestling business. So I just got to say, sorry, folks, for that one major foul-up, but here's what I'm going to tell you all, and that is this. Adam Cole signing with the WWE is a big deal, because now you can put him into effect, wait about 6 months or however long you want to pursue this. You want to go straight into watching Ember Moon and Asuka? Is that what you're telling me? Okay. You want me to discuss that with you? Hang on 1 second. Okay, folks. So, Ember Moon, Asuka. Ember Moon goes up against the undefeated Asuka. I find it very, very intriguing because you have two women who are extremely identical in the ring. You have two women who, without question, set the tone, you know, for, you know, gals like Ruby Riott and Billie Kay and Peyton, well, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. Not a big fan of them. And it's because they're your stereotypical Barbie doll gimmicks for women, and that's not, you know, I'm not a big fan of that perception anyhow. The match that has my attention is, you know, a few. Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Roode, fairly decent. No, awesome. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to see NXT TakeOver. SummerSlam looks okay. So, as I was saying before, you know, get calls on the other line, messaging and all of this, whenever you watch something, you go through NXT TakeOver's card, you look at SummerSlam's card, you say to yourself, what can I attribute to going to SummerSlam 3 years in a row? Well, you guys, this is something So here's what I have to say to you all. I've been through this dance before where people tell me you should just go to TakeOver and not go to SummerSlam. That would ring true, right? You would think. That would ring true if I were the type that just said, well, I'm not going to spend my money here. I could have saved a bundle here. No. I mean, look. There's a definite side of me that says SummerSlam wasn't up to par last year, and I'm not denying that. However, again, like I told you before on last night's show, being live versus being at home and watching on the network, well, there's an inevitable difference. You sit at home, you watch on the network, you see a whole bunch of stuff. You're comfortable. You can drink a beer. You know, you can have fun. You can smoke a cigarette or whatever you do. But when you're live, you know, you're you're seeing things from perspective, like the Asuka matches that I've seen, you know, in her other NXT appearances. I've seen some in Salina. I have seen some in New Jersey. I have even seen a little bit thereof in Providence, Rhode Island. Asuka is amazing. So I gotta say this, guys. The reason why I'm showing up to both of these shows is because, you know what? You might as well, because how often does TakeOver happen? Aside from, you know, you saying, well, it happens once a year. Happens once a year, but you know what? NXT, a lot of my friends are saying NXT doesn't have the explosiveness that it once had. Well, you can't always catch lightning in a bottle. You can't catch it twice. I know the phrase. So my initial reaction to that, you know, the question that was just asked to me is, yep, very true. But you know what? I'm not going to stammer upon this. I'm going to talk about main thing. If I'm just going to douse on Baron Corbin, here's the thing. I'm not going to down on him entirely. He's big. He's bad. He's generic. He's boring. So he's your stereotypical bad guy, right? The way he talks, the slow motion, the banter that he has, you know. Here's the reason why I do not, I'm not too fond of Baron Corbin, okay? If you watch him and you watch and compare him and Diesel, or Kevin Nash, for that matter, same guy, what are we trying to say? Are we trying to say that only big guys can work and only big guys can make things happen, and you're living in the fucking past? This is not 1995. This is 2017. Him cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase and failing, might I add, was kind of justifiable because not all the fans were into him. Now, some local fans that I know of are big fans of him because, oh, you know, it'd be nice to have a Kansas City guy win a championship, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, just not now. He's not ready. And I say that because if you have seen any of his stuff outside of SmackDown Live, if you've seen any of his stuff on pay-per-views, you're supposed to be the heel, right? You are supposed to be calling matches. Why in the fuck are you not teaching, you know, your guys to be calling said matches? It takes a really patient guy like Dean Ambrose, for example, at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, mind you, to call the fucking match. Because Corbin has, you know, not a clue on what to do. Not a damn clue. And if he does call a match, you know, cool, you know, he's improving upon certain areas, but in certain areas needs work. Gimmick, I could give a fuck less. If you're entertaining and you're not boring and bland, like, so, I mean, why be able to go off tangent? But here's the thing. You watch wrestling. People are going to say, oh, no, you're not enjoying it. Oh, really? Please tell me why I can't be negative about one person. Because then it was, you know, people getting into arguments about John Cena. Now they're getting into arguments about Baron Corbin, about where he stands. Well, if he's a good wrestler, if he's not a good wrestler. I'm not the one suiting up every single night, going out at a live show or house show and making money. So from that aspect, I guess I'm supposed to keep my mouth shut about a guy who at this point managed to win a match against the likes of Nakamura, K Kevin Owens, Nakamura, Sami Zayn. Can you please tell me how these guys have not gone up the ladder? I mean, you got Sami Zayn feuding with Mike Kanellis. You have Aiden English, who is not even in this equation, but back to Baron Corbin. Watching him is like sticking a knife in my leg and just turning it slowly, counterclockwise. It's that bad. When you watch this, you say, well, you're too cynical, well, you're too negative, and you're just giving up reasons why from based off opinion. No, because even if you're barely fucking have your foot or ball sack in the fucking door in this business, we all know that heels are supposed to be able to be leaders in the ring, right? I'll give you a prime example. Jake the Snake Roberts. That man worked both as a babyface and a heel. Does it have anything to do with roles as far as, you know, good guy, bad guy? Jake knew how to work in the ring because his in-ring psychology was by far one of the best. So him losing, you know, the opportunity of a lifetime in is it over for Baron Corbin? Is it officially over? Because as far as I'm concerned, I really don't know what to tell you other than I've watched WWE for a while now. I've watched even when WCW was around, and I have watched when good old ECW was a thing. Okay? Now, characters on that roster, or each roster, that were good guys, bad guys. You had Mickey Whipwreck. You had Justin Credible. You had Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, New Jack, all of them. You had Sabu, Sandman, Jerry Lynn, Robin. You had your veritable, you know, superstars that could vary their character. You had your high flyers in WCW like Rey Mysterio, Juventud Guerrero, Ultimo Dragon. You had Stevie Ray, Booker T, tag teams that could separate themselves as good guys, bad guys. You could tell. Well, Baron Corbin, whenever he speaks, it seems like he's chewing through rocks. Okay? It seems like he really needs a manager, or he just needs someone to come out of the NXT developmental to help him. His move isn't bad. End of Days is not terrible. It's not moves or move sets that bothers me. It's the attitude. It's the attitude that's been bothering me, you know, that bothers me about Baron Corbin. He just has that lackadaisical, I can just half-ass things in the ring, out in the ring, on the mic, get a paycheck. If that's what you're there for, bud, that's fine. You know, and your little act with the kids, that's great. Where he broke kayfabe, ladies and gentlemen, and then, you know, hugged that child at the end of one SmackDown Live. That was cool. But other than that, what it comes down to is the whole, you know, ripping Baron Corbin a new one, and that is, I like guys that, well, I don't know, should be in the mainframe picture, but you know what? That's not up to me. That is up to, you know, talent developmental system in WWE. Why certain guys are getting pushed to the wayside, don't know. Guys like Baron Corbin are the guys that take shine away from guys like Sami Zayn. I don't think people care. Some, you know, if you're there as a worker for, you know, and you've been in the wrestling business and you worked your ass off in the independents, and then you come to the big leagues or the minor leagues in NXT, and you find yourself dawdling around and mid-carding positions. So, basically, you know, I'm using this as an example. When you're put in a position, you work with whatever you're given. Because, as someone once said, it's not about what the company can do for you. It's how you serve the company. It bothers me, though, just from a fan's perspective of watching this stuff, watching it play out, because I know. I have seen this done before. Baron Corbin What will he do at SummerSlam? I don't know. But I have the gut feeling that he's going to get involved in the championship match between Mahal and Nakamura. Will he win the championship at SummerSlam? Probably, and ruin the thing, you know, ruin everything for the fans. Fans, they say forget, and that they won't remember within a year or two of what happened, but they will remember the moment, and they'll laugh it off, or they'll say, that was fucked up, that's why I don't watch it as much. What am I referring to? Baron Corbin's involvement at SummerSlam just has him in a match facing off with John Cena. Is this going to be a squash match? I don't know. Is it going to be a hardcore, you know, Baron Corbin beats up on John Cena, or Cena becomes Super Cena? I don't care at this point. All I'm, you know, concerned about is what, you know, what will happen, what will make me smile, what will make me, yeah, what will make me feel good, exactly, as a fan. As we're having technical difficulties, me trying to give something up, but I gotta say, another, you know, emotional news, aside from me ranting and raving about Baron Corbin, let's talk a little bit about Ric Flair, who is still in an Atlanta hospital recovering from his surgery. So I'm sorry, I just had to take a little tissue because Ric Flair is one of the best at what he does because he gave so much to this business. And so it went from me ranting about Baron Corbin to contemplating and thinking about how much Ric Flair means to the wrestling business. And he's not just a 16-time world champion. He's one of the godfathers to the pro wrestling business. And if you don't think so, you need to go watch and just assimilate yourself into watching his old matches. Not just on the network. You can catch some of this on YouTube, guys. So as I've, you know, watched Flair over the years, my very first time to see him was in 1997. WCW Nitro, Madison Square Garden. And I remember, you know, Rick was quite a character. And I remember, you know, woo! Right after. And I'm just trying to focus, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry if I'm all over the place, but Ric Flair is in an Atlanta hospital recovering. We wish him the best of luck, and we hope and pray for his speedy recovery. So all I'm going to tell you right now is I'm going to switch gears back to the whole Baron Corbin thing. Sounds a little something like this. Whenever you watch somebody, and whenever you float to the other side of being a worker, and then you float back to the other side just being a fan, for some people, is, you know, a like being because he's the local boy. He's the guy that you know you like because he can beat other guys up bad. You know what? I'm true. Not everybody is meant to be generic and boring, okay? Okay. Not everybody is meant to be horrible on the microphone and getting away with it, okay? Not just horrible on the microphone, but working the match is a big deal, man. If you cannot work a match on the grandest stage of them all, that's just one thing. But if you can't work it repeatedly and you have to have a super baby face like John Cena call it for you, I don't think people mind. I think people mind if they get through the match safely, correct? But I'm not going to change my tune. I'm going to stick with what I think, and that is if you are the type of person who just likes guys that are just big and, you know, simple to follow, that's, you know, like I said, there's different fans. But for me, just watching him is kind of a really – it's a pain in the ass. Him on SmackDown Live, he doesn't fit. But on Monday Night Raw, yes. So – I thought of something. One second while I test this out. I'm having fun in the new studios, ladies and gents. Give me one second. You know what happens to those of you who cheer Baron Corbin like an incessant little gay 12-year-old schoolgirl, huh? Do you know what happens when you cheer a man that's really boring, do ya?
You just made the list.
I can be that mean too, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's after all, it's, I don't know what it's doing outside in Kansas City. It's definitely having mood swings for sure. And I got to say, I'm about to head out to NWL TPC. I'm about to have me a damn good time, see some old friends of mine, chat a bit about sports, chat a little bit about how Baron Corbin, you know, is just one big cesspool of mistake. But, you know, he is in WWE, so that's better than a lot of people. Not really. Whether or not you're in WWE or not, and you've not been keeping up, the name Baron Corbin gets synonymous because here's the thing. When watching WWE, you say, huh, Baron Corbin, a great specimen, right? A guy that can literally make a name look better. I don't think so. I've seen guys that have come through WWE circuit a long time, some of which are no longer in the business. Guys like Sid Vicious, for example. Guys, well, The Undertaker is much better than Baron Corbin will ever be. So what's a fair comparison, Sid Vicious or Diesel? Some of you are saying that Sid Vicious is more of a, you know, I don't think so, because Sid faced off with more legendary names than Corbin. Does that make him better because of status, or does that make him just a figure, just a legend name? I'm just asking. Jeez, no need to get sensitive. Okay, so you're basing what I'm saying that Baron Corbin does not need work. Yes, he does. So does everyone. I need work. Anyone needs work. But if you're not willing to try, I don't know. I'm not inside his fucking head. But I do know this, if things like the Shield reuniting can happen and Baron Corbin learning how to mic better and wrestle better, hell, even work better in the ring as a fucking heel, not just that, but being more apt to letting someone talk for him. I mean,
It's all about presentation for me. It's all about, okay, you make me go, wow, that was cool, and man, that was better. Some people say, yeah, he's improved, he's gotten better. He's not as terrible as we thought he was. You know, guys, I'm beginning to think that when you watch pro wrestling, some of you are just in it because the big guy is supposed to beat up the small guy, and you really don't think past that Shawn Michaels or a small guy like Chris Benoit. Oops, did I say the forbidden name out loud? Those guys could carry other guys. As far as if they worked the match as a heel or a babyface, does that matter? To an extent. Are fans really saying terminologies nowadays? Yes. Baron Corbin is a person probably different, according to some folks. Baron Corbin as a wrestler needs work. Is it fixable? Yeah. Is he going to fix it? Probably. Is he going to get better? Yes. Is he making more money than good old B-Train? Sure. But him failing to cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase is quite funny. Really, really funny. And I'll tell you why. Damian Sandow is no longer with the company. Is Baron Corbin going to have a longevity in the company? I don't know. But the 5 remaining minutes that I'm having with you guys, like, going to sound something like this. When I got time to wiggle around and just vent on somebody, here's what I'm going to tell you. In order for me not to just laugh and ridicule Baron Corbin the entire time, I'm going to just tell you, it is unnerving for some guys to be like, well, you know, this is the reason why I go into wrestling. I just go in there to be technical, and I don't have to do any mic work because I'm part of the indies or was a part of the indies. Here's the fun part, guys. Baron Corbin was not a part of the indies. He's a former NFL guy. So I'm just saying, it's going to be real interesting to see a guy like Baron Corbin progress, move forward, and do the best he can. Because right now, who knows? I mean, he's up there as far as, you know, fans really liking Baron Corbin. There's some that do, there's some that don't. Just like there's some that like Bayley, there's some that like Alexa. There's Sasha or Nia or Becky Lynch even, or Naomi. Point is, Baron Corbin, some may say he couldn't wrestle his way out of a paper bag, and you may be true. But at least he does have a setup, at least he does have a finish. That's not the point. Does he get people's reactions? Yeah, he got mine. Got mine and others, man. And it wasn't like an OMG. It was an OMG moment. It would have been complete had he, you know, completed successful cashing in of his Money in the Bank briefcase. And by the way, speaking of appearances, did not know this. I'm going completely off topic just before my 2 minutes are up. Uncle Bob, Brutal Bob Evans, was at SmackDown Live in Providence, Rhode Island, and he was there taking pictures and just enjoying himself, having a good time. What's up, Uncle Bob? How you doing? Shout outs, much love to the man who constantly gives awesome advice, makes you think. So as I'm watching baseball, as I'm contemplating what I'm going to say next, it is, I like to vent. Yes, it does bother me. Certain people get away with crap, but it is what it is. So, okay. Here's what it is. You either are or you're not entertaining. And Baron Corbin kind of just, thank goodness, you know, it proved to a lot of fans that you can't predict what's going to happen in wrestling. Even though you read through your little spoilers, sometimes it goes different. So, I gotta say, folks, I'm gonna have fun. I'm gonna do some live broadcast from Barclays. See you on the flip side in Brooklyn, bitches. How's it going? If you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it.
Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of.